Matthew 5, verse 3. Read this as you're seated. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Amen. You can be seated. Now, it says God blesses those who are poor, but it also says, and they need to realize something. They need to realize their need for him. Amen. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't realize our need for God. But now, understand that also coming to the Lord in your life and as a sinner, you realize you need him, but every day, we need to realize we need him. That's why it says in the New Testament about calling on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Every day we need to call on him, and he will save us. Amen? So the R in recovery is principle number one. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do wrong thing in my life, and it's unmanageable. Matthew 5, verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The E in recovery is principle number two. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. Matthew 5, verse 5, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. C is principle number three. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and his control. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The O in recovery is the principle number four. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Matthew 5, 16, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The V, principle number five, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The E in recovery is the principle number 6, evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and to make amends for harm I've done to others, except when I do so would harm them or others. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The R in recovery is principle number 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain the power to follow his will. Amen? Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The why in recovery, principle number 8, we have to learn, folks, to yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and my words. Amen? So Matthew 5, verse 3 through 10, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ preached the greatest sermon in history, and we call it the Sermon on the Mount. And he started out by saying, I want to give you 8 steps that will bring happiness in your life. And today, we call those 8 principles the Beatitudes. And when you look closely at the Beatitudes that Jesus gave, you will find that they are a summary of the steps to recovery that we've been studying over the past few weeks. You see, we will be looking at the last step today on the road to recovery. The Y in recovery stands for yield. Yield yourself to God. Why? To be used to bring this good news to others. Both by your example that you live and by the words that you speak. You see, because God wants to use your experience to help other people. Think about that today. I'll say it again. God wants to use your experience to help other people come to Him. He wants to use you. Anybody believe that today? God wants to use you. He wants to recycle the pain in your life for the benefit of other people. And usually, folks, we think that God only uses really gifted or really talented people. But that is not true. God uses ordinary people. That's me and you. Amen? Now, we pray that God would use our strength. But God, folks, declares that He wants to use your weakness. Come on. Oh, it would be so nice if God used all of our strengths. We could really brag and feel good about ourselves. But God says, no, I want to take your weakness and show others how I can use you through your weakness. So do you know why God wants to do that? You see, because people are not helped by seeing your strength. They are helped when you are honest about your weakness. And when you share your strength, they say, well, I'll never have that. But when you share your weakness, they say, I can relate to that. Right? When you share your strength, they think, nah. But share your weakness. Because many of us probably have a lot of the same weaknesses. When you understand that God can use your weakness, when you understand that God can use your hurt, when He can use your pain for His purpose, life takes on a whole new meaning. And when you begin to practice this last step, and only then do you truly have genuine recovery. The proof of recovery is when you begin to focus outside of yourself. Hear me today. I'm going to say it again because I want us to catch this, folks. The proof of recovery is when you begin to focus outside of you. Outside of your needs. Outside of your desires. Outside of your wants. You stop being so self-absorbed. And you start asking, how can I, with all of my desires, how can I, with all of my wants, how can I, with all of my selfishness, help others? That makes it hard to swallow, isn't it? Because sometimes we get so focused on what we want, we overlook what others want. Now, you say, well, Brother Roberts, I got this. Hey, listen, the Bible tells me that Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. But he was always helping others. And you can go on down the list. We probably have so much more than he ever dreamed of having. How many of you walked here tonight? All the way from home or just in the door? But see, Jesus would have had to walk here. If he had enough change in his pocket, he might have been able to call Uber. And what did he do, folks? He blessed others. Why has God allowed our pain in our life? Why has he allowed me to have pain? Anybody? Let's look at this. To permit me to have a free will. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, 28 says, look today, I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. You see, the Bible tells us in Genesis that we are made how? In his image, in the image of God. So how then are we like God? If we are made in his image, how then are we like him? You see, God gave each of us the power of choice. You can choose right or wrong. God or Satan, life or death. So why would God, folks, hear me now, why would God take such a risk? Because he wanted people who would love him voluntarily. You cannot say you love someone unless you have had the opportunity not to love them. Amen? Think about that. You cannot say you are good unless you've had the option to be bad. Amen? You see, our free will is not only a blessing, but it is also a burden. Because sometimes we make dumb choices. Come on. So, blessing, free will is not only a blessing, but it is also a curse. And those dumb choices cause all kinds of painful consequences in our lives. Amen? It sounds like there's people got the t-shirt. Huh? Now, God would not like for you to have your pain, but many times it's just a part of the package, folks, that comes with having free will. And so not only does God give you a free will, God gives everyone else free will also. And sometimes they do not do the right things, and you get hurt as the innocent victim. Amen? Now, God could have prevented that hurt from happening to you. He could have done that. Yes, all he would have had to do would take away the person's free will to do the wrong stuff. That's all he would have had to do. But if he had done that, to be fair, he would have to take away your free will. Right? So do you see the dilemma that we're dealing with here today? The problem is that by having free will, we get blessings, but we also get burdens. Right? And God says, I'm not going to overrule your will. God does not send anybody to hell, but you choose to go there by rejecting everything that he has and everything that he does for you. Right? So, if you say no to God, you cannot blame anybody else but yourself because you have a free will. Amen? Now, another reason that we... what's my question here? Why has God allowed my pain... is to get our attention, right? Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, physical punishment cleanses away evil. Such discipline purifies the heart. So God uses pain to get our attention. You see, pain is a warning light on the dashboard of life. It is an alarm that says it's time to act. It's time to do something. All right? Pain, folks, hear me. Pain is not your problem. It is just a symptom of your problem. All right? Pain just says something is drastically wrong in my life. Pain is God's megaphone. Amen? You see, folks, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. And we do not change when we see the light, but when we feel the heat is when we change. How many ever had your check engine light come on? Huh? How many of you waited until it went? Call the tow truck, right? Well, see, God puts this check our heart light on us sometimes, and we wait around and wait around until it's too far gone. And then we wonder how we got there. Come on. How did I get to this place? I was so in love with God. I was so in love with the life that I was living. How did I get to this place where I'm angry now and I'm resentful of this and I can't stand this person anymore? How did I get to this place? It's because we ignored the check engine heart, the check heart light. You see, in 2 Corinthians 7, it says, "Now I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience leads us to away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow with lack of repentance results in spiritual death." Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 says, "As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple." What? When he was slipping away, I remembered. Amen. It also, number 3, is to teach. God wants to help us to learn these things, to teach me. It teaches us to depend on him. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 10, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raised the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." Folks, do you know that God is all you need until God is all that you have? God is all you need until God is all that you have. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. You do not know that God is all you need until God is all you have. If you never have a problem, you would never know God could solve problems. Amen? The truth is that there are some things we only learn through pain. It is life's greatest teacher. Amen? Psalms 119, 71 and 72. "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver." Amen? And then we need to give me a ministry to others. God wants us to go through some of these things and help and trust in him so that it gives us a ministry to others. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4 says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. One of the greatest reasons that God allows pain in our lives is to give you a ministry to other people. You see, pain makes us humble in spirit. Pain makes us sympathetic. Pain makes us sensitive to the needs of others. Amen? Pain prepares you to serve. When you go through things and you are so appreciative of somebody helping you, you want to return that favor to somebody else. Amen? Everybody needs recovery of some type in their life. And who better to help them than someone who has been through the same situation themselves? You see, God wants to recycle the pain in your life to help others. But you've got to be open about it. Amen? Understand something. God is bigger than those situations and those people that hurt you. So no matter what other people have done to you, folks, God can turn it around and use it for good. Amen? Genesis 50, verse 20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Come on. Listen to this. God never wastes a hurt. Never. He'll use your hurt to help this hurt. But you can waste it. You can waste your hurt if you don't learn from it. You can waste your hurt if you don't share it with other people. How do I use my pain, Pastor, to help others? How do I do it? 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain. This is why I love my God. You don't know where God brought me from. Let me tell you where God brought me from. Let me tell you how God cleaned me up. Come on. Always be ready to explain. You need to always be prepared to give an answer to this question. How did you make it? How'd you get through that? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now, there's a key to that. Okay? Gently and humbly. Don't get up there, you sinful sinner. I don't know if God even ought to take you back, but he did me. Come on. This is a command, folks. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back unto the right path. And he says, be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. What did he say there? The suggestion of Christ? The law of Christ. It's a command. If you are a Christian, You are to share in the problems of other people. Help them like God helped you. Come on. Now, I got some suggestions for you for sharing your story, for sharing your testimony. Number one, here we are. Write it down. Be humble. When you witness to someone, it's like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You are not saying that you have it all together. You're saying that we are in the same boat together. Okay? So, be humble. Remember, you're in the same boat. And then the next one is, be real. So you have to be honest about your hurts. You have to be honest about your faults. You have to be courageous enough to be, here it is, vulnerable. You have to be courageous enough to be vulnerable and real. Why? Because that is when you really can help someone else open up to God. They're not going to open up if they feel you're being arrogant. Okay? And in that atmosphere of being humble and being real and being vulnerable, in this atmosphere of acceptance that we want to cultivate in our church family. Okay? That's what we want. To be vulnerable and to be real with people. And then, here you go. You must be kind. Just share your story. God wants you to be a witness, not a defense attorney. Okay? All right, listen. You cannot argue anyone into heaven. And listen here, you can't hate anyone into truth. Right? Just share what happened to you and let God, folks, do the convicting. So here's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8. So you could see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery or you well known. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you. Or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Something amazing, folks, happens when we are willing to honestly share your testimony, your story. It not only gives hope to people, but it gives them healing to you. It gives healing to you to tell that story. Amen? I think I told us a while back, but I've been seeing some things here and there on just people who have been hurt in their past, in their life, and been abused, and in all kinds of different situations, abuse had taken place in their life. And one of the reasons that they started telling these stories and putting it out there because it brought healing to them. They said they never healed until they was able to tell the story. God understands how we are. God understands our makeup. And God wants to us to tell our stories. Something amazing happens when you're willing to be honestly share your story. It not only gives hope to that person, but it brings healing to you. Every time you share your story with somebody, you get a little bit stronger and you are healed a little bit more. Acts 20, verse 24 says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Listen to that, folks. Let me read that. "But my life here is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by" who? "The Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." And why won't we be witnesses? We need to understand it is our duty. There are only two things you cannot do in heaven. One of them, you cannot sin in heaven. And hear me, the other is you cannot witness in heaven. You cannot sin and you cannot witness. Which of the two reasons do you think God left you here on this earth for? Pretty obvious, isn't it? We have a job to do. Amen? And we must do it. And let me tell you something. If you want your recovery in your life, if you want to get over some of these things, start doing what God says and start being a witness to people and telling them how great your God is. What he has done for you, where he has brought you from. You have a testimony, and people love to hear testimies. Come on, folks, when a preacher comes up here, missionary, whatever, and they tell you where God brought them from, we just sit here with, "I'm up here, I see." And you're quiet as a church mouse. Because you love to hear testimonies. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people in your workplace. There's people in your family that need to hear you tell where God brought you from and how great your God is. And you will receive recovery. Not only that, but you get a crown. You get a stone in your crown. Come on. God wants to use us. Let God use you to heal you and to bless others.